In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Since Pentecost, the Church has prescribed readings, daily readings, from St. Paul's letter or epistle to the Romans. And if you've been keeping up with the daily readings, which I strongly encourage you to do, and if you don't know where they are, they're found on the wall calendar, the St. Simeon's calendar, and they're also on your iPhone or whatever you have these days. You just go to oca.org and you can read your daily epistle and gospel reading right there on your electronic device. Anyway, I strongly encourage you to keep up with the readings. And if you've been reading from the book of Romans, you know how instructive this epistle is and how really instructive all of St. Paul's epistles are. Perhaps no single man in history has had more influence on Western civilization than the Holy Apostle Paul, whom we appropriately honor along with St. Peter with a fast and with a feast this last week. St. Paul's writings on faith and morality and spirituality touch on virtually every aspect of our church life, and this is codified in the canons of the churches and the church. And his writings also have had a huge influence on our civil law, if you think about it. Or at least they used to have influence on our civil law. That seems to be changing these days. In his letter to the Christians in Rome, St. Paul tells the Jewish converts that their law will not save them, and that salvation is also available to the Gentiles, that is, to the non-Jew. And he calls them the Greeks. You know, you have the Greeks and the Jews, so the Gentiles are the Greeks. St. Paul knows from his own personal experience as a ferocious persecutor of Christians before his conversion, that the law can deceive well-meaning men into thinking that they are doing the will of God. This is the message of St. Paul to the Romans. Don't be fooled into thinking that by following the law that you will be saved. The conversion of St. Paul on the road to Damascus, after he was such a violent persecutor of the church, was really a shocking revelation to him as a zealous Jew. And much of his writing to the Jews must be seen as a loving attempt to persuade them to come to a full knowledge of the truth, which is the person of Jesus Christ, whom he was persecuting. He wrote in the 10th chapter of Romans, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." St. Paul called himself the chief of sinners, or the first sinner. And he knew that he could only be saved by the mercy and grace of God, not by the law, since being zealous for the law led him to persecute Christians. So this was a great, great lesson in humility for the Holy Apostle Paul. Since the law was the conscience of the Jews, and as Father Gerson said in one of his sermons this past week, it was sort of an unconscious conscience of the Jews. They just blindly followed the law. St. Paul explains in Romans that the non-Jew is guided by natural law, the conscience that all men have. In the second chapter of Romans he wrote, "For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles, who do not have the law, by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. And he's talking about St. Paul's gospel. If we are in or under the law, then we all deserve to die. Since we heard today, the wages of sin is death. In the same chapter of Romans that we read from today, St. Paul tells those early Christians, and us as well, that since we are no longer subject to the law, we are no longer subject to eternal death, because we have already died through holy baptism. And you remember that epistle reading we read from Romans at the baptism service. How shall we who have died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. In today's gospel from St. Matthew, we see the result of faith and grace as opposed to the result of blindly following the law. Who was the main character? A centurion. A Roman. He was not a Jew. So he's not under the law. Out of love and in faith, he called on Jesus to heal his servant. St. John Chrysostom says that the centurion recognized the divinity of Christ, while the Jews did not. Jesus' proclamation that he had not found such faith in Israel was a real slap in the face of the Jews. After all, he was calling a Roman soldier who was an enemy of Israel a great example of faith. And he tops it off by saying that, in today's gospel, the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, which is a clear reference to hell. In St. Luke's account of this event, the centurion first goes to the Jews to ask them for help. Then he goes to Jesus, further contrasting the law and grace. In his humility, the centurion tells Jesus that he is unworthy to have him enter his house. You hear in the two readings today, we had two key phrases that are in our preparation prayers for Holy Communion. O Lord, I am not worthy that thou should enter under the house of the roof of my soul. And St. Paul said, I am the one in the reading, but St. Paul said he was the chief of sinners, the first of sinners. These are found in our preparation for Holy Communion. This humility of the centurion, this same humility that the centurion shows in saying that he's not worthy for Christ to enter into his home, this is the same humility of the converted St. Paul. And it contrasts with the pride of the Pharisee who expects Jesus to come to his house since he is a strict follower of the law. In that story, you remember that after inviting Jesus into his house, the Pharisee criticized Jesus because he allowed the sinful woman to anoint his head with oil and to wipe his feet with her tears. The humility of the sinful woman was rewarded with what? Forgiveness. Forgiveness of her sins. And the pride of the Pharisee was rewarded with the gnashing of teeth. Father Gerasim pointed out that the thrice denial of St. Peter was for his humility, as a cure for his misguided zeal for the law. If you think about it, Pride is nothing but a law that we have given ourselves. Archbishop Dimitri wrote about this gospel that we read today. It's a long quote, but it's appropriate. I'll read the whole thing. The Christ preached by the apostles was the Christ who gave himself out of love for mankind. He is the one who receives all who come to him in faith and humility, those who love him. He is not moved to respond to our petitions because of some supposed worthiness on our part. Our accomplishments, position, wealth, and fame do not commend us to him. Neither does our belonging to a particular race or nation, and neither does membership in his church, if we make no effort to live in accordance with his will, have no faith or humility, think of ourselves as deserving of his salvation, or think only of ourselves and never earnestly desire the well-being of others. Such was the image of Christ that the apostles and disciples proclaimed as they undertook their great missionary enterprise after having been filled with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Dear brothers and sisters, beware of the pride of the Pharisee. Beware of the temptation of self-righteousness. Beware of any form of legalism, even in or especially in the church. We're saved by grace, not the law. And grace is a gift given to the humble through the extreme humility of the Savior who's covered our sins with the water of holy baptism. Through the prayers of the holy, glorious leaders of the apostles, Peter and Paul, may our Lord Jesus Christ have mercy on us and save us. Amen.